Today on the Cooligans, Lionel Messi is having a nightmare with this team that does not defend. We talk all about all the MLS midweek matches. LA Galaxy still on a losing streak. They have a lot to figure out, and we try to help the best way we can.
And we have a great guest, Michele Giannone. He speaks Spanish. I don't know why I said it like he's Italian. we talk a little bit about the Hudson Derby and so much more in MLS. And then, of course, after that, we break down a big clip from a former friend, maybe. I don't know what's going on. Wait till you see it. It's hilarious. That and more today on the Cooligans.
I got to talk about this because it's a fairly serious issue. And we usually don't start the show off too seriously.
No, yeah, these are supposed to be really lighthearted, but here comes Christian.
But here we go. No, because
what happened, man?
You know, look, we've been involved in the soccer
space. What happened? Someone stole your sprouts. My
sprouts. You know how offended I get when that happens.
My Brussels, bro. Where they go, bro?
No, some people in the soccer world probably are aware of this. Some people may not be. But Nashville SC, their supporters group La Brigada de Oro made news recently because they have paused all supporter activities, and they are a big part of the supporter section at Jota's Park,
a beloved part from even the other supporters. Everyone was standing behind them,
but they've stopped because recently in Tennessee there's been a lot of and we've seen this all over the country, but there's a lot of targeted ICE arrests, and it's getting horrific seeing, you know, babies ripped away from parents and people.
Horrific
getting,
to some of us, right?
I would hope to most.
There's a core of people who don't seem perturbed by this.
I don't know what.
Deterred by it at all.
So I don't know what, you know, how comfortable people are seeing this, but this isn't normal. And it's incredibly cruel, but they paused activities because there's been a lot of targeted,
paused activities. They didn't go to the game because they were afraid that the police would be profiling them on the way there.
Exactly.
Or ICE would be profiling them.
And this is, frankly, no way to live, right? We all love this sport. We all want to support our teams. And for things like this, it's one of those things where people are like, it won't happen to me. You know what I mean? Sometimes people place their vote in a particular way and they don't think they'll be affected by
There's
it.
There's like three or four Miami Cubans right now listening to this being like,
I didn't know the leopards were going to eat my face.
And
that's exactly what's happening. So I just wanted to make sure, you know, wherever I hope you stand on the right side of history and seeing stuff like this is really terrible. But the fascism is already here. It's already if people can't even just live their lives the way they would like to, which is just going to a nice major league soccer game, and they have to worry about stuff like this. That's when it gets so super super gross and stuff like that.
Maybe this is a way to get billionaires to vote more correctly, is to be like, wait, I'm losing money because fans aren't coming to the game,
right?
Because they're afraid that the way I voted is already getting them arrested.
That's the only way to convince a billionaire.
Like, we gotta get down to brass tacks. We got to get down to brass tacks.
All of a sudden, there's just a bunch of white South Africans at Nashville SC games.
farmers.
The farmers. It's wild. I don't know why.
The task bar has showed up on our back screen. Thanks, Carter. I love that when I do an intro, it's usually about me pooping. When you do an intro, it's about the greater good.
So more than anything, I just want to show a solidarity with La Brigada de Oro and all you know, MLS support and just supporters around the world that are aware and talking about this, because it's not fun to see stuff like this. All right,
if this show was just all the disgusting stuff happening in this country, it would be 45 hours long a week,
dude,
and we still wouldn't cover everything.
It would be an audiobook, all right?
Not even, bro. It would just be a perpetual. It'd be a 24-hour stream, 24/7 stream.
So with that said, welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. Yeah. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And we got a hot show today.
Oh boy, I'm excited for today's show.
We had a massive slate of MLS midweek matches. So we're going to talk about all of those. And we're going to be joined in just a little bit by the one and only Michele Giannone, my favorite Italian Latino.
Michele Giannone. Boludo. He's not even Argentinian.
He's Venezuelan.
But when I hear that kind of name in Spanish being spoken,
yeah,
I think Argentinian right away.
I love it. You know, as I'm raising a Dominican son with an Italian last name as well.
Right.
So, I mean, we're all very familiar. But Michele is part of the MLS.
Wait, what?
Mateo is...
You said last name.
No.
First name. I was like, wait, Polanco?
Maybe. There might be a Polanco
name. I'm like, wait, you switched your last name? Polanchini? I don't know you, dog. Have you not told me your government this whole time?
Imagine. Michele is part of the MLS season pass crew, the Spanish side.
Right.
So he,
you know, the one you click on by mistake every once in a while. You're like, ¿qué está pasando?
And then you're just like, why does it sound more entertaining?
Yeah. Why is everyone so much more animated?
No. So he's going to be joining us in a little bit to talk about this weekend's matches. It's rivalry week.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little
bit. He's doing it in English.
In
case everybody freaks out.
He's capable.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone thought all of a sudden, like, oh, I'm going to be lost halfway through this interview.
No. There's going to be a test at the end of the podcast.
Or maybe there's ICE people listening, and they're like, hey, they're what? We need to deport middle of this podcast.
We got to be careful when we step outside these streets. All right. So today,
yes,
obviously, we watched all the MLS matches during the midweek. But obviously, the biggest one, San Jose and Inter Miami. Lionel Messi goes all the way to the Bay Area, to hang out with E40 and his homies. But we have to figure this out. It was just a ridiculous game. So Lionel Messi is wasting his time playing for this Inter Miami side. And it's MLS's fault.
What?
And that is why it is today's top topic.
Okay.
Let's get into it.
Give me some context here, because I kind of agree with you. But what specifically is MLS's fault?
So this game, it's 3-3. And when the last few weeks, especially, we've seen Inter Miami, they're barely defending.
Mm-hmm.
It is clearly not a big priority in whatever style and tactics that Javier Mascherano has in place for this team. And I understand. I have a couple maybe ideas on how to fix it. I mean, my first thought is if Messi is going to play for this particular Inter Miami side compared to the one that he played for last year, that was fantastic.
Yes.
So because of all the MLS rules, and we had Will Kuntz on the show, and shout out to Will Kuntz. Shout out to all the feedback. We've got a lot of great feedback.
Go back and watch that video. It's incredible. Yeah.
And all the machinations and everything that has to change from year to year. And the defending just has not been a priority. But
to the point you're saying is they couldn't keep the players that they had last year. Not all of them.
Right.
Because year over year, the cap rules make it so difficult to do that. So now what you have is, how is it that Inter Miami has won one of their last five games, and on that team is Lionel Messi, Luis Suarez, Jordi Alba, Busquets. You've got Mascherano as a coach. You've got superstars on this team, and everyone just assumes you've got those players. You're going to run rabbit all over MLS, and you're not able to win as often because defensively you just don't have the ability. The point becomes, would Jorge Mas have a better defensive team? Would him and Beckham go out and get a better defensive players, or maybe more depth to have a better defensive system if they were able to?
Without a doubt. So, I mean, we can all complain. I mean, I've been seeing even the comments about the Will Kuntz interview. People saying, like, he's just complaining. Everybody has to operate under these rules.
You know the rules.
I understand. Yeah. And it's the only issue here is just, like, it's so... It shouldn't go from one best... And we can say the same thing about Galaxy. They won MLS Cup, but Inter Miami were the best ever team in MLS history, accumulating the most points, to having this. They're not terrible now, but
they're in fifth.
This isn't great. It's so chaotic, just the way that they're playing, and it's look, it is MLS's fault, and that isn't me necessarily saying that it's a bad thing.
It's also not Don Garber's fault.
Right.
It's whoever is stopping the league.
Collectively,
Whatever it is, whether it's the owners
that don't want to spend.
Yeah. Or it's voting it down because I know they want to spend, but that's going to make me spend.
Right.
Whatever it is, whatever. And Will Kuntz made a really great point, which is everybody talks about the top, the ceiling. What about the floor? The floor needs to be raised.
Right.
In this situation, I think the freedom to go out and, one, get the players you you're willing to go out and get, which make the league better to watch, versus two, being able to keep the players that have, you know, developed in your system, you know, play well, are good locker room guys, you know, feel comfortable in that city, all of those things that we want as a human being. And that if you're developing a team, you want these types of players. If you can't keep those players and you can't go out and get better players and you can't keep players that are essential to you, to your success, I get that parity is important for some, and I get that every year it could be different, is good. But when you have someone like Lionel Messi for 3 years, those rules are hindering you. Before you had superstars, yeah, that made sense because LA Galaxy was just as qualified as DC United, is just as qualified as, you know, Metro Stars and all of and Mutiny. Everyone, year over year, everybody's going to win a cup, or essentially, you would hope, because of the rules, it means every year you could be just, you could be so much better than you were last year. But now it's the reverse. You went out and you bought all of these superstars. Apple's paying for it. You know, the rest of the owners are paying Lionel Messi's salary. Everyone is putting in a little bit to keep this guy here. And you can't surround him with a good enough team to not look like this defensively.
Yeah.
You are hindering your own success.
So so instead of blaming the league, right, and we put some responsibility there or accountability there. Let's look at Javier Mascherano, right? Because the first thing I would at least think about is if you're going to have this team, a team that is not as prioritizing possession, or maybe not prioritizing possession, they don't have the same quality players that they had last year to maintain possession in games and win. I mean, again, you looked at Messi playing at Barcelona. He did not have to worry about really defending that much because we're the world-class defenders back there. And then the midfield, they had control of the game.
Right.
So he doesn't have that that quality there. And we're starting to see what happened with Zlatan, where the body language, he's starting to show his frustration when he doesn't get a pass that he expects. And he expects... The only people that can pass him the ball the way he wants is Jordi Alba and Busquets and Suarez.
Yeah.
And so he'll make a pass to Cremaschi, or he'll make a pass to Allende or whatever. And it's just he wants it on the run. As soon as he makes that pass, this is why.
By the way, that's fair.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. We're on his side here because that's been your whole career. You've been passing to people that are at a level closer to yours.
Yeah,
you don't have that right now.
So the one thing I would suggest for Mascherano, whether this is going to happen or not, the attacking players have to defend more. They have to be part of that. There has to be some idea of like team defending. I can't understand how you can go weeks and weeks of doing sort of the same thing. Suarez didn't play in this game, and I don't know if that was better or worse. I mean, they still scored 3 goals. But I don't know if that made any difference in defending.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Even if he played, it wouldn't have adjusted defensively. And I think at the end of the day, when I look at this, you know, football in other countries is very much the season is, let's see who's the best. I don't know that necessarily MLS is built that way. MLS is built a little bit more for entertainment. It's about, can we get the sport to be more popular?
Sure.
Right? MLS isn't necessarily built in here. The schedule is specifically laid out without a balanced schedule where every team plays home and away. And for those of you who don't know that, maybe we have some Europeans are watching or whatnot. Our seasons aren't built specifically. We play every team home and away. There's too many teams. It's too big of a country to do that. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that, but that's so I'm fine with that. If you're not going to have that, then it's not necessarily about who has the most points at the end of the season. It's not necessarily built for who's the best. It's not built in, we're going to play you and we're going to see who's better. It's specifically built to, this is entertainment. Can we make soccer a more popular sport? Can we grow the revenue of the league? Can we grow to a point where it's sustainable, extremely popular, and then from there we can go? Because of that, that's why you have an MLS Cup. That's why you have a playoffs. It's more pageantry. There's so much more to it. If we understand that that's what we're doing going in, we're not sitting here saying like, let's see which city or which town is the best at football or the best at soccer. We're simply going to entertain. When you bring in someone like a Lionel Messi, everyone should shake hands and go, okay, how do we amend these rules to make this the most entertaining as possible? Would you agree or disagree? Lionel Messi winning MLS Cup is better for the prosperity of the league.
Yeah, just same. I would have said the same when, you know, when Beckham was playing. Obviously, he right. He didn't win. It took a
while. He won an MLS Cup, but it took a while.
It took a while, yeah. So, look, it's better for the storyline. I'm not going to argue that, but it's also
better
pretty...
for the popularity of the league.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, and it's for the people that are already into the sport, I think it's... We like seeing, there's a little bit of like, we like seeing Miami lose. Like,
yeah, of course.
We know that everybody's trying to, even we're talking about it. Like, yeah, it would be better if they won. But there's also part of us that's like understanding, like, yeah, it's kind of great if our teams can beat them.
And I think that's the point, right? It's not so much like, yo, make the rules so that Miami wins. Make the rules so that the owners of Inter Miami can go out and spend and get players they want. But also it allows other teams to be like, all right, I'm going to build a Miami killer.
Exactly. Hey, look, games like this, a 3-3 game against San Jose, you start thinking about everything. You start realizing like, oh man, because they can't bring in high quality defenders from around the world. Then
or even
it's like,
just more depth.
Then it's like, then they really have to prioritize their academies. They need to be able to bring in guys that are good and that they don't have to pay a lot. That is the problem in Major League Soccer. And that there's just not enough guys that are good that are willing to be paid less. But Inter Miami has the luxury of like, hey, Beckham and Jorge Mas can be like, you want to play with Messi for a year and a half?
Yeah.
Take these. I have two nickels in my pocket.
Yeah.
Look,
I know you worth X, but I'm gonna give you like a B.
This is gonna be, you know, for the exposure.
Yeah, it's gonna
be good
for every comedian. But pay. What was it? There was a comedy club who was like, well, we can't pay you money. We're going to give you a family. You have a family here. I'm like, that's what you're saying. Like, look at this.
That comedy club run by the Sopranos.
Hey, Messi is your cousin. Huh? Can you WhatsApp Messi right now? No, you play for us for free. You will.
Exactly, bro. So then,
can we go back to an old idea of mine, which I think might work?
What?
Can we make academy players not hit the cap at all?
You did mention this years ago. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Imagine if academy players never, whatever you pay them, don't hit your cap.
Sure.
Academy players would be making more money, and now you can go spend more of the cap. I hate to add another rule on top of the,
the players union might have an issue. Because they'll be like, oh, well, we want to make money as well. Like, there should be some fairness there. But
no, hold on. They'll make money. It doesn't count against the cap.
Yes, but then they would favor young players over experienced veterans.
No, you'd be able to get a balance because you'd be able to go pay more for experienced veterans and you'd be able to bring in more youth players to make that balance work.
Hey, you, the comments section will figure it all out.
Let us know in the comments.
Y'all know better than us. Go ahead.
Will, are you watching as a GM?
The one detail, so Carter, producer Carter, had gotten this, the stat, but this season, Inter Miami has a 1.35 XG and then they have a worse goals allowed, expected goals allowed at 1.38. This is comical. Yes. You can't win anything playing like this.
They shouldn't be letting in as many goals as they are. XG. I'm going to look at Inter Miami on the XG table.
I have it pulled up. It's they would be finishing 15th out of 30. Like, so in the East, I don't have it, but out of all 30 MLS teams, they're 15th.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're actually doing a little bit better than their current XG. That just means they're underperforming.
Yeah.
That means that, and they're underperforming defensively and they're underperforming offensively, which is crazy when you list the types of players they have. I think the point that we're trying to make on the show is, bro, let them loosen up the purse strings. You know what I mean?
That too, but then I also just want to say, and I don't know the details around why Tata Martino left, but getting rid of Tata was a mistake. I don't know what... There clearly was something else behind it because he's the one who left and the reason we gave it, just whatever, wanted to spend time with family or away from the game.
That's never a good sign.
Maybe that's true. I don't know, but it just...
When we know football coaches... managers, they don't want to spend time with their families.
they take the job to get away from that family. Yeah.
Remember the story about Roberto Martinez that his wife got like wanted to do a new living room?
Right, yeah, from Grant
Wall's.
And he
was like, we'll do an L pie. We'll do an L couch. And she was like, oh, great. One of us, we can each lay on the couch. He's like, absolutely. And then he got two different TVs. One so the wife could watch TV and he could watch football.
You could watch your stories.
Babe, entertain yourself with this drivel. I'm going to watch 15-year-old matches to see if I can pick out a tactic. So, quality time.
Yeah, dude. That's my main thought. I'm like watching this team now versus just even watching it a year ago. it's just it's comical how different
and there's
it
still
is.
Time to fix it.
Yeah, so we'll see. A couple other mentions from last night. LA Galaxy, we just have to talk about.
Cooligans bounce hasn't started yet.
I promise the Cooligans bump is coming soon.
Actually, they got close to winning.
They were up 2-0. They looked pretty sharp.
It's not our fault.
And then second half, Philadelphia
man.
Union.
Bradley Carnell figured them out.
He must have been like, dude, you know who you're playing against. Yeah,
they haven't won nothing.
They haven't won. I mean, it's getting to the point where I'm like, I feel bad. I mean, it's just like.
Do you know what game is next?
Yes,
against LAFC. So,
maybe this is when they turn it around.
I feel like this might be it.
But yeah, lots to figure out. But just a bummer. In stoppage time, right at the end, basically the last kick. LA Galaxy lose.
Literally in the last play.
I do want to talk about LAFC as well because they won 4-0 against the Seattle Sounders, mm-hmm. and it was a very confident victory. But the person I want to highlight is Jeremy Obobese.
Starting over Giroud.
He is, but not, I think we should start lock in the starting spot for the striker for Los Angeles Football Club. I think it has to be Jeremy Obobese. When he left Portland because he wanted to get more minutes. He was kind of playing as the backup. He went to San Jose, didn't really work out, and they were having. Yeah, he was there 2 seasons, I think.
That was also a really bad team.
Year. Not Bruce Arena. He would probably do great in this Bruce Arena side.
He would have been great.
But now he's playing in to have other attackers in midfield, like having a Bwanga who attracts so much attention, and he's on another level. He looks fitter. He looks more confident.
He looks very determined.
The goal that he scored was just
on his other foot,
on his right foot. And he scored some left footed bangers already.
But to swoop.
Yeah, to come back
in. And he even said
in
the postgame, he's like, I knew they wasn't going to expect that. He didn't say it in those words.
I love it.
He's just a much more well-spoken individual than I am.
He's
but.
One of those like, yo, as soon as I got the ball, it was a matter of where in the net I wanted to put it. Yeah. I didn't see anybody else, trying to stop me.
They can't stop me. Not with this foot. They wasn't waiting for it.
But we sort of already seen like the Giroud, project. It's not really going as planned. So maybe you go with the hot hand, and there shouldn't be much debate here.
Yeah,
I don't think. Last thing, Orlando City also they win against Charlotte, and the main question I have,
speaking of bangers,
after the I mean, all season, they scored a bunch. Muriel, what's his name? Palisic? I forgot.
Pasalic.
That's it. And so they've had like worldies this season already. But I think we can just. I think Orlando City are a little bit underrated. Like where they are in the Eastern Conference, I think they're in sixth.
I feel like Orlando City are going to have that on their back because there's so many times where we've all believed in them, especially coming towards the end of the season, and they found a way to fail.
Yeah.
So you got to prove it in the playoffs. So for right now, maybe you're underrated. But at some point, you got to prove you're not going to Orlando City it up.
Yeah, they do look great. I mean, this is out of all the years they've been in Major League Soccer, this is one.
It feels like the plan's coming.
They've had always like one or two guys that are clearly like standouts, but they look like they have like three now that are again scoring fantastic goals. So they feel like a little bit underrated, and they might be later on in the season and maybe in the playoffs. This feels like a team where people should be scared of them a little bit.
I know we didn't put it in, but Diego Luna this season is having an incredible year. And again, I think they drew, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we still know.
But he's playing at another level. He's completely taken over this team as his. There's a level of confidence this guy's playing with that's out of this world for someone so young.
Yeah, Gold Cup roster.
Ever since he broke his nose, bro.
Break his nose again, man. He gave him super.
Bro, is your player playing badly? Break his nose. Get out
but
there.
But yeah, Gold Cup rosters I think are announced next week, if I'm not mistaken. And Diego Luna, I'd be surprised if he's not on there.
I feel like he, pretty soon we'll be talking about him moving internationally.
Okay, yeah, we shall see. All right, Michele Giannone will be joining us right after this to talk some Hudson River Derby and some other things in Major League Soccer. So come right back.
Welcome back. We've got a guest, and when we talk about illustrious guests,
exactly, and this is
this guy's backstory is like the beginning of a romance.
That's novel. Right. This is who the CIA hires.
Yeah, 100%. I don't trust anything this man says.
No, but our next guest is someone who we've seen on our television screens for years, covering American soccer or covering Liga MX, and Someone, I think we bumped into him. I forgot where. Maybe at an All-Star or something like that. And it was one of those things where like, oh, he knows who we are.
Yeah, I know who you are. I know who you are. You know who I am.
I cannot believe it. I didn't think we were even on your radar.
Yeah.
But someone whose work we deeply respect and honored to have in studio with us of the MLS season pass crew en español, the one and only Michele Giannone. What's up, brother?
How are you guys? I'm so excited for being here. And I remember that moment. Of course, I knew you guys. It was 2022.
Okay.
All-Star game in Minnesota.
That's right.
Talisman shop.
Yes.
Talisman store.
Yeah.
And of course I knew you guys. I remember when I entered a store, I saw you guys and I was like, oh, those are the Cooligans. Like, a cool, Michele. A cool. Cool, bro. And I was
a Cooligan.
Cooligan. And yeah, it's been, I'm so excited to be here. It's a dream. I'm such a fan of you guys. I knew you guys before you started, because I'm a big fan of the Dan Le Batard show.
Okay.
Yeah. I used to listen to it when I live in Miami, when they were like a local show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then you started working with them. Mm. I was like, oh my God, these like two people, two groups right. that I love, now joining forces. And now it's so awesome to see what you guys have done here. And I'm such a big fan. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, man.
Nicest guy from that in any way, shape, or form associated with Miami. I'm going to say that right now.
Yeah, it's something. And we've heard that a lot. There, we were at Fubo. We were at Meadowlark. But there were a lot of people said the same thing. They were like, my worlds are colliding kind of a thing. But it's an honor to have you here, especially now you just recently, this season started with Major League Soccer. You are Tudene, Univision in general.
Wow, you said Univision.
Univision.
That's crazy, right?
Perdóname.
El gringo acá,
Wow, qué gesto, bro.
For our audience.
I'm trying to escape ice. That's what he's doing.
Univision y Tudene.
Tudene, pa' que sepa.
Yeah. You're from Tuden, right? Damn, I heard you was working for Tuden. covering Ligamix.
Yeah. It's a good drug. Ask your doctor about
Ligamix. Ligamix is crazy.
Ligamix might be the way to say it from now on, bro.
But no, we were huge fans of you. And now when you were joined MLS, it was exciting because I know, we're obviously MLS sickos. So now it was exciting to
have homies now working there across the board in Espanol and English. It's so great.
Exactly. So we'll talk about the matches. But just now, just real quick, you just moved from the West Coast. You were in San Diego.
Yes.
And now you're in Stamford, Connecticut. MLS offices.
Sorry. You know what?
San Diego to Stanford is crazy.
It's been like, I'm very excited. Uh-huh. I'm really liking Stanford. It's been a week, but I've been flying back and forth because we started with obviously the MLS season in late February, but we started because it was new studios. So we started going there early February. So I was going back and forth. I already saw a little bit of the cold, the change of the weather, but every person. And I go with like, I'm so excited. I live in Stanford now. Oh, that's so cool. Where are you coming from? San Diego. Why?
Why?
It's always.
Why?
How could you?
And this last week has been raining every day.
Do you remember?
And then I checked the weather app in San Diego. It's like 70 and sunny.
Do you remember the reaction we had when we found out that Gerard Piqué cheated on Shakira? And then we saw the photo of the woman. That it was more like, well, Shakira, that's San Diego. And in this photo, I'm sure she doesn't look right. But this photo, Gerard Piqué, you might have picked the wrong one. You are Gerard Piqué in this situation. You picked the wrong city, bro.
You got a good gig.
It's a great gig. It's a city close enough to New York.
Yeah. I'm loving it. So I'm going to give it a time. Growing up, it was always a dream of mine to live in New York City.
Yeah.
And I'm close now that I can get a train. And I love trains. It was something like a fascination. Because I grew up between Miami and Caracas, Venezuela, mm-hmm. Puerto La Cruz, Venezuela, shout out. There's, especially you live like in tropical weather year round. And in Miami, if there's no like transportation.
None.
If you don't have a car,
the myth.
If you have a car, if you don't have a car, you're dead in Miami. And then I moved to Mexico City con Univision. And it
that's
changed.
Univision.
Univision. That's Google Translate.
Yeah, I don't want you to be confused.
And it was life changing. Because Mexico City is an amazing city. If somebody here watching, listening to this haven't been, please make it.
It's
number one on your bucket
list. Beautiful place.
It opened my world of like, oh, whoa. I don't need a car. This is great. The subway is very close to New York City.
Yeah.
So I had that experience for 2 years. And I say, oh, yeah, I want to experience now New York City someday. And now I'm close enough that maybe in a year, I sign a lease for a year to try it out. Maybe I'll be here in the city with you guys.
You can move to New York. It's easy to get back and forth. We got trains, baby.
You want
to
be my roommate? Yeah. Feel free. Yeah. Bro,
rent's $5,000 a month. You can be my roommate.
That's something that I found out in Stanford. You can't live without a roommate. So that helps with the rent and price compared to New York.
Yeah, New York is a little crazy. You'd be one of five.
All right. Speaking of New York, let's talk about this upcoming Hudson River Derby. The last time we experienced an Hudson River Derby, we were at Citi Field for the playoff game for New York Red Bull.
The first time ever that there was a Hudson River Derby in the playoffs.
Exactly.
And it was a home game for New York City FC. Everything was lined up. And New York City FC had a better season.
Yeah.
You'd think it would have gone their way, and it did not.
No, it was a 2-0 loss. So this is an interesting game. I think similar to Red Bull just playing LA Galaxy the other day in the MLS Cup rematch, and we saw how that went a nice 7-0.
Hopefully they got all their goals out.
But this feels like a one where now NYCFC probably want a little bit of revenge. What are you looking forward to for this matchup?
I mean, I really like New York City, but it's sometimes so frustrating to watch, especially and now it's now exacerbated. Sorry, because the midfield is such a mess. Now, the Keaton Park's injury, I think it's.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah.
Like, completely drastic. You're basically now depending on what an 18-year-old Jonathan Shore, who I love, but you cannot put all the weight of the midfield
it's
on him, right?
It's him and a 39-year-old, a 38-year-old, Maxi Morales.
So,
basically a son and a dad.
it was going to be a struggle, and it was at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. After you had, for such a long time, that I love that double pivot on the midfield with James Sands.
Yeah.
I think probably the best in Major League Soccer, arguably. And then when Sands left, so now they're going to struggle a little bit. And now they found this Jonathan Shore, this kid, and it's been doing great.
Mm-hmm.
But now with Keaton Parks being out, it's just the last two games has been like just horrible. Yeah. Absolutely horrible. And then it's like Maxi Morales or bust. And then up top you have people missing PKs and Ojeda hasn't been sharp. And I still have a lot of positive thoughts towards the team because it's a long season, right? Except for the Galaxy, they're done. For the rest of the league, it's still a long season. There's gonna be up and downs. We haven't hit even the summer, which is the most brutal part. So once like the team is getting healthy, and then there's a summer window, which I believe New York City has to be or try to be all in towards Kevin De Bruyne. I mean, he's in the family. He's in Manchester City.
Right.
The last thing I heard, and everybody heard, I think he's very close to Napoli in Italy. And
because they told him he only has to play so many matches in the season.
Yeah, and
Napoli's willing to give him. This is the rumor that Napoli's willing to be like, "Oh, you only have to play so many matches.
Oh, wow.
And maybe even only a home game. You don't have to travel with the team sometimes." Like they're trying to do everything to land him, but he would be an immediate fix for New York City.
And that's what you need. It's like plug and play, like with Chicago Fire. That's what I was told. It was funny because I was told before, like even the rumors started, I said the two teams is obviously New York City because of the family, the city group, and Chicago Fire.
Yeah.
Because they already went after Neymar and especially the way Greg Berhalter plays. But it's frustrating because I really like New York City. I like the players. But you cannot depend on a 39-year-old like Maxi Morales. And you cannot depend that you and Cincinnati is a team that has this issue too. Well, every major league team has this issue. Like you miss one or two key players and the team is going to struggle. But especially on midfield where all these games are decided, like Cincinnati with Pavel Buca. Like you have Evander, you have Denki up top, you have Orellano.
Mm-hmm.
But when Pavel Buca is not there, it's Armageddon.
Who's gonna deliver the balls to those guys?
Exactly. And especially with New York City, like if you cannot miss Keaton Parks, then you got to fix that in the summer. Like that has to be your number one priority.
It's one thing, especially, I mean, we're season ticket holders for NYCFC, so we're watching them a lot and we're watching them a lot more closely. And there's something when, let's say Keaton Parks receives the ball in the midfield, you can just see his brain working differently. Like even Jonathan Shore, you see the body movement, you see the mechanics of like he looks like a footballer,
100%.
But then the difference is in that confidence to make that pass,
to break that line,
to not be afraid. Oh, there's pressure on me, and I'm not gonna let that influence this pass that I want to make. And we saw that a little, even when Maximo Carrizo, another young homegrown player, came into the game. Again, doing the things that you're supposed to do as a professional footballer. But when you're at that young age and you're just like a little immature, you can see that is the difference that you know, that only comes with playing lots and lots of minutes.
It's also being able to withstand the speed of the game at this level. Yeah, which and so
you,
much of
what,
so
what
much
you
more.
Say, it's so important, like breaking the lines and the ball progression. Because see the difference between Perea, who's been great. He played great yesterday.
Yeah.
But he's not a guy that is going to break through lines. No. He's not a guy that's going to ball progress like Keaton. Mm-hmm. So I think you need to, and it's going to be counterproductive. Because if you bring somebody on the midfield, that's going to take time and probably development to Carrizo or to Jonathan Schorr. But they're going to have time. If you're going to win now, you got to bring someone to really replace James Hands and to really help Keaton Parks do that. Because there's like a hole there. And again, I put the example with Cincinnati and you said it perfectly. Like, I mean, Evander is not going to drop to his own box to bring the ball up.
Right.
You need that player to do that for you. Right. And that's what Keaton Parks or James Sands did for New York City,
sure.
right?
And Justin Hawk feels like a player who could do that, but he's so good in the back line.
Yeah. Now you got to play him there.
Yeah.
So it's a difficult, because he seemingly is the perfect replacement for James Sands,
right.
But because of the issues at center back, they need him to play there.
Also, this season, he's gotten so much better with his pass.
Yeah, one of the things, and we love, you know, we've worked with Justin Hawk. I filmed you know, a piece of sponsored content with him a couple years ago. So what, homie?
SponCon?
SponCon. Hit the SponCon button. Like, we don't have a SponCon button.
That eagle is also sponsored content.
Oh, can I say something real quick? He's not here, but Tati. Oh my God.
Oh.
I'm a Lazio fan.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
Let's say it's here.
Okay.
I named my dog Nesta. Oh, from really? Alessandro Nesta.
Ah.
I'm a Lazio fan.
So were you an Impact the Montreal fan for like two seasons?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I love Tati.
Yeah.
Tati.
I'm not going to lie. You said Lazio and then I looked at your hand and the word started with N. I got a little nervous. Oh my God.
there's a couple bad eggs. Yeah. We all know.
I just had to mention Tati real quick because he's been awesome at Lazio.
There was a fear in the beginning when he first got there that he wasn't, but I was in Rome.
I mean, he was fighting with Ciro Immobile for
and he was national team player.
But he's not a guy that's going to go 20, 25 goals.
No.
But he works his butt off and he creates chances.
Mm-hmm.
He plays so well with the ball. And the fans, and I speak for the fans because I see it and you're in group chats and mm-hmm. you see and you read. And even though he doesn't score that many goals, you can see how well he plays and how he creates for others. He's a fan favorite, and I love that because there was a lot of doubt when he got there.
Yeah, it didn't start off that way. I was in a cab. The driver was a Lazio fan. I was in Rome. It's heading to the train station. And I was like, oh, you Roma or Lazio? And he was like, Lazio, no Roma. You know?
It
was
like, Roma merda.
Yeah. He's like, no, capitale de Lazio. He was doing the whole thing. And I go, Tati Castellanos, he played in New York. He's like, hey, I hate him, but now I like him. Yeah, He's like, I told him to where to go and what to do, you know, to F himself many times. But now, I'm a big fan. And I was like, I'd like that you turned the corner. You know, he seemed to win over. And I think it's because he plays so hard.
And I have a really great memory of him, like as a person.
Mm-hmm.
When 1 week before he was sold to Girona,
mm-hmm.
I think the last game he played here, it was his last or next to last, it was a game that we did at Udine, and I did the game, the sideline. It was a game against New England Revolution.
Okay.
They won.
Yeah.
And that was, I have a funny story with Bruce Arena on that game. I don't remember, it was 2022. Well, but it was like in the first half, New York City had like 3 PKs on their favor. So Bruce Arena was losing their minds. Tati scored like 2-3 goals. And we spoke before the game and I said, well, I want to speak to you. Like, we want to do like a flash interview post game. But like the press people were like, no, we don't want him to talk because, you know, all the transfer rumors. We don't want you to ask this, that.
Right.
And Tati was like, no, I'm going to talk with him. No worries about it. And then he left to the press conference and everything. And he was subbed during the game for a knock.
Yeah.
He was like wobbling. And he like walked back like the whole tunnel to talk with me.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And even though like the team didn't want to like for him to speak, and he was like, no, I'm going to speak. I'm going to talk. And he was such a nice, guy.
Sweetheart. Yeah, yeah.
Incredible. And when he signed for Lazio, he was like, oh my God.
This is perfect.
This is this the
because
best.
Of you, because of Michele. He's because like, I knew of the me, team
I,
you
I support. Have, I, yeah. I have that memory of Michele.
Yeah.
And it's like, and
what
and,
was that guy's favorite team? He showed me the tattoo.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, Nesta, this guy's psychotic. I'm going to sign for Roma now. It's like,
obviously, there aren't many, it's difficult to find any connection with certain teams, but I watched many more Lazio matches, and I wanted, especially in this first year, I'm like, why isn't he starting? Yeah, he's good enough to start, because he scored 4 against Real Madrid. Why we can't start in Serie A? It's ridiculous. But yeah, we worked with him as well, and that was, and it's interesting because now Alonso Martinez for New York City FC, I think kind of it mirrors what the style of play that Tati Castellano
certainly has become a fan favorite. The way
again working hard, against Miami that. That first game, that pressure led to the goal.
Right.
It's been an interesting situation. And I saw...
Penalty kicks aside.
Yeah. He has a magnet for the post that I can't even understand why.
It's like, bro, take a couple steps back. You seem to be really good when you're doing it when the ball's not stopped.
I think he's been a good replacement. Another player like Tati started on the wing and now clearly the starting striker. Munser Bakrar. We love the guy, but like Pascal Janssen been very transparent, being like, I don't, what can I do about it? And like this player, the player ahead of him is playing so well that the scraps of minutes that I can give to him, he has to do whatever he can.
You got to score when you come in with off the bench. Let's talk about the other side of the river.
Yes.
New York Red Bulls, obviously a couple of new players, right? Things seem to be kind of going well. 7-0 against.
I'll say this. The Choupo-Moting, the signing,
I was very critical.
Didn't think it would work, and he's fitting in fantastically.
Yeah, I also didn't expect him to be as inspired as he seems to be playing.
Yeah.
What do you make of their chances coming into this game?
I mean, they're a difficult team to predict because I was talking with that's one of the wonders that I get to do every weekend. Like I'm sitting, like for example, watching games between shows with like Bradley Wright Phillips and Sasha Kleshton and Gio Savarese, who I file papers for him to adopt me.
We spoke to him and I'm like, oh my God. I will fight my own mom for you.
We got to do a Brady Bunch image with all of us and Gio in it.
Yeah. He's the most nicest guy you'll ever meet. I'm going to be so heartbroken when he eventually comes back to coaching.
Yeah.
And I've told him this. Like every time there's the MLS coach gets fired, I immediately text Gio, Don't even think about it.
Tell your agent no.
It's like, I'm gonna F this up for you. Yeah. I'm gonna be so critical of you.
Yeah.
Leaked comments in the practice of how terrible of a worker he is.
Right. Yeah, you are terrible in the green room.
Toxic. That's a toxic environment that he brings.
Look, working
the locker
with Gio
room.
Was fun. I wish him luck in his new job. I didn't like the way he punched us all in the face. But outside of that,
Italian slap.
Yeah.
You know, if I have any criticism, it's probably
there's
that.
There's one thing I can point out. Maybe look into that.
We have like a little like espresso club.
Uh-huh.
We have like espresso machine on the green room, and he will bring like the espresso cups. It's like no paper cup here, baby.
Yeah.
Sir.
Oh, yeah.
It's like we have our like espresso cups. He's the best. And he will he will legit, like we'll be like on 360 and it's like a 5.5 hour like show. It's like nonstop. And he will like sneak out and go and make espressos and bring coffee for everyone. He's incredible.
Yeah.
But anyways, coming back to it. It's such a. I was talking with Bradley Wright Phillips, and we were before the 7-0. Mm-hmm. Like this is a team that before that game, and I still they miss Lewis Morgan.
Of course.
Like they don't have a guy that has that change of speed.
Mm-hmm.
That now it's more like that you can just play direct.
Oh, throw it in a space.
Yeah, throw it into space,
and then we can all set up.
And I think they're missing that guy, that piece, because now. Obviously, and again, we're going back to, because it feels maybe so repetitive and cliche, but, and it's happening with the Galaxy. When you are basically depending on what your DP does, right? And when Forsberg is engaged, now when Choupo-Moting is engaged, you'll see the quality and you see the results, right? But when one of those guys has a bad game or is not engaged or maybe has... maybe just like bad luck on a game, you see how the team falls. And those players like Lewis Morgan that necessarily are not like big DP stars, but are on that like next tier two or tier three.
Top TAM.
Yeah, top TAM, like max TAM that can make those impact on the game, not necessarily from that. I think they're missing that. hopefully he can get back because he, I mean, last year he dealt with that hip injury, which, I mean, he was close to like call it quits. Sure. Like it was very hard to come back.
Didn't and he now, get a call up from the Scottish Nationals?
Yeah.
He did. Yeah, he was on Morning Footy talking about it.
And now he's dealing with, and we heard that it was like a little bit of a setback. He was supposed to like be like being close to be back, and now he's a little bit like far off. So I think they're missing that. To complement with Choupo-Moting and Forsberg, I think this team could make a big run again.
I think
I don't know if it's MLS Cup, but they're going to be in the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, they were a big surprise. And I think, you know, the credit I always give to Red Bull is just like the young players that they do bring up in that academy. Yeah. It's just
The midfield is all academies, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, Wiki Carmona, Edelman, even the center. Isla. I also think he's been fantastic as well. So yeah, it's always something with Red Bull and these Hudson River Derbies. I think
both teams level themselves up for this.
But there's
unless it's the playoffs.
Yeah. I disagree. Yeah. there's something happens with Red Bull during this game, and we've experienced it obviously for years. Obviously, you know, we experienced our own 7-0 years ago.
We were at the Red Wedding.
But there's even with the younger players, and this is a part of it that I like in the culture of this Hudson River Derby, is that these young players that never even maybe played in a derby come in with the anger and sort of veracity of like the history of the Hudson River Derby. And now, you know, we had last year we had the Hudson River Derby trophy, the third rail, they brought the trophy here and stuff like that. So there's just, I think we're on the precipice of another like a big game this weekend. So, all right, I want to move on. I want to get to we have a little game that we do.
This is a
surprise for you.
Okay.
But just a little bit of background. You were born in Italy.
Yes.
Okay. And you were mentioning
you're from Rome, I'm assuming?
Sicily.
Oh, from Sicily.
Yes. Okay.
Really?
I had my honeymoon in, I'll tell you this. I usually tell these people to tell this to Italians, but you're sort of world travel. But I had my honeymoon in Italy. We started in Como, then we went to Milan. The way I sort of got into the sport is my brother would travel, and my brother plays handball, like New York handball, playing on the wall.
Yeah.
So he would travel all over the world.
He was like the Michael Jordan, the LeBron James. Was
very good. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm not making that up. Like, he was the number one player in the world.
So apologies if you've heard this story before. I'm just telling him again. But so he used to get me football kits from all the different countries and cities. So he got me an AC Milan kit. So when I go to Milan, I'm like, I'm going to wear it. It's like from 2003. I'm wearing my AC Milan kit in Milan. I feel like the coolest guy in the world. And then...
Then you get on a train.
I get on a train, and I'm not even thinking about anything. I'm like kind of tired. We've been traveling a bunch. And we're going to Napoli. And I'm wearing...
Problem.
And I don't even... Problem. I don't even think about it. I'm like, I'm just on my... On
it's
the train
just with... Just Ronald McDonald going, what's up, Chris? It's just ridiculous.
So, get to Napoli. And I get off the train. And then as soon as I step off the train, I'm like, I'm wearing a Milan kit. Is that a thing out here? Like, do people get bothered by
that? Cab drivers. Yeah.
Is that a rhetorical question?
Yeah. Yes.
I did. And then I get out of the train station and get to the line for the cab drivers. And the cab drivers are all Napoli ultras. And they see my shirt and they all say like, no.
You got to take it off.
They said take it off. They said, oh, no, we're not driving you. There were like seven guys that were waiting to pick up people. They started picking up the people behind my wife and I. And
this is honeymoon.
Honeymoon.
And I can't get a cab.
Finally, a guy was like, fine, I'll take you, but I'm charging you more or whatever. And then it was a 30-minute ride about why I should burn that shirt, why I made a terrible mistake. And he had a Maradona tattoo. He had Maradona stickers all over his whole thing. So, so that is my relationship.
But they did say it would have been worse if you were what?
Juve.
Juve.
They said Juve, you would have been.
Juve is by far. In Sicily, because Sicily doesn't have historically like big teams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you grew up, like they have Palermo, Catania.
Yeah.
Palermo was in Serie A for a long time. Dybala played in Palermo. So for nonno, my grandparents and his brothers and everything, you're Juve, Inter, or Milan. That's it. Right?
Yeah.
So in Sicily, Juve is like the big team.
Right.
And Juve, it's very hated. If you're not like
everywhere else.
Everywhere else.
Yeah.
like everywhere else. I'm a Lazio fan because growing up, my favorite player was Giuseppe Signori.
Right.
And
where's just that the, tattoo? Why you got Nesta?
Then Nesta came in. Nesta came in, and the color. So I was just like, oh, that the sky blue is so pretty, and yeah. And yeah, so.
All right. Yeah, yeah. That's so
awesome. F Roma.
So you also obviously grew up in Venezuela and Miami, and obviously you do a lot of Spanish time with Carver.
Which is why he calls it Univision.
Univision, papi.
So we were born in the U.S., but of immigrant parents, right? So Spanish is sort of our first language, but this is a common thing. You ever heard of the Yo Sabo kid?
No.
Yo Sabo is like, kids that grow up in this country to Spanish-speaking parents, but they don't really pass the language to them. So they say, instead of yo sé, they say yo sabo.
Spanglish.
Spanglish,
basically.
Whatever. Yeah. So there's a game
this
called...
This whole show is in Spanglish.
There's a game called Yo Sabo.
Oh, wow.
And it's to test...
I'm nervous.
Your knowledge
I'm
of like,
more nervous than you are. Trust me.
Yeah, trust me. We're the ones who are wrong.
This
here.
Is to test like words.
Your knowledge of like words you probably don't use every day.
Exactly. So we're all gonna pick a few cards.
But you know what's hard with while you do that? And when I moved to Mexico, because words have different meanings in different countries.
Yeah.
In Mexico, like I said, a couple of things that in Venezuela are like normal things.
Right.
And it's like a movie scene where like you said it like on the newsroom and everything like stops and everybody looks at you.
Right.
It's like, is this guy, what is this guy saying? It's like one of the most embarrassing moments in my life.
That's like Claudia, who's Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Claudia
Pagan. Big fan.
She was, she's doing headlines and Nico's trying to teach Susanna Fuller nicknames for teams in Latin America. So there's a team called El Bicho, which if you say that in Puerto Rico, you're saying the yeah. dick, you know what I mean? Well, the cock, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're not supposed to say that. It's like a very derogatory version. Mm, it's like straight street talk. So there's Suze goes, oh yeah, but a big win by El Bicho, right, Nico? Yeah, he goes, back to you, Claudia. I go, hey, Claudia, what was the name of that team? And she's like, oh my God, I would never be able to say that. My mother would immediately call me and I'd be so much trouble. And Suze had no idea. I'm like, bro, Latin America, it's a bunch of different countries. People don't realize that.
The worst that has ever happened to me was in Venezuela when you're asking for a ride, like a Uber ride or whatever. Dame la cola.
Right.
La cola.
Yeah.
Dame la cola.
Yeah.
In Mexico, it's like,
give me that ass.
give me that ass.
Yeah.
The person that I ask is like, hey, can you give me a ride? Like, dame la cola. Like the whole country stopped to look at me.
Like right now, or you should get a room? Or?
I mean, okay, but I'll give you one real
it's
one.
So
a
embarrassing.
Quick one in English.
It was terrible.
My wife's family is from like Jersey City, Hoboken, and they talk like old timey, like mafia people, all of them. They're like extras from The Sopranos. Her grandmother used to have a phrase, and the whole family says it, but when her grandma says it, it used to make me laugh. She's a much older woman, and she goes, Alexis, will you ride me to the store? Which means give me a ride.
Yeah.
She goes, will you ride me to the store? And I would go, I mean, yeah, but your back's gonna hurt. Yeah. Everyone in the family would be like, how could you disrespect man that way? But I'm like, why do you guys say it this way? This is your fault, not mine.
All right. So this game, we'll be testing the other two. So I'll go first.
Okay.
So you
can look at your card.
It'll make sense. Yeah. So I'll go first. This is way too easy. ¿Cómo se dice 60?
60?
60.
That's an easy one. Come on. That's
I think this is a tough one.
There might be. Yeah, there's a couple really difficult ones.
¿Cómo se dice skunk?
Oh. Skunk. I don't remember.
It's with a Z.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's a hard one, dude.
Oh, that's right on the tip of my tongue.
I got no clue. What is it?
Zorrillo.
Zorrillo.
Oh, because Zorro. Like, yeah, yeah, Zorro. Yeah. I know. Yeah, I had a feeling. All right.
This one is sneaky hard.
Okay.
¿Cómo se dice skirt?
Falda.
Falda, yeah.
Yeah.
Falda.
Okay.
All right. I thought maybe you might not remember. I don't know how often you guys
I like this game.
Put the cards in the middle. We got to reuse those. Okay, so I got mine. Boom, and boom. Let's see.
Yo sabo.
Okay, I'll go first. I'll go first again. This is so easy again. ¿Cómo se dice ship?
Barco.
Barco. Yeah. All right. Ezequiel. Ezequiel Barco.
¿Cómo se dice roof?
Techo.
Techo.
Muy bien.
That's an easy one. Okay.
¿Cómo se dice scissors?
Tijeras.
Yeah.
Come on.
We're killing this game.
It's way too easy.
Nosotros sabemos, bro.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
This is another one. ¿Cómo se dice ring?
Anillo.
Anillo. Come on. This is wild.
¿Cómo se dice desk?
Mesa.
Oh, no.
That's table.
Escritorio.
Escritorio. Yeah.
Pa que se-
that's like
pa que sea serio.
That's like a school desk, bro.
Pa que sabo. Yeah.
All right, real quick. ¿Cómo se dice donkey?
Burro.
Of
burro.
Course.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to do one more?
One more, and then we'll end it.
This is the best we've ever done.
Yeah.
We're crushing these. All right,
escritorio.
I go first.
Oh, my God.
This is easy, too. ¿Cómo se dice deaf?
Sordo.
Sordo, yeah. Yeah,
you got it. All
right. It was a term with an
¿Cómo se dice cooking?
Cocinando.
Cocinando.
¿Cómo se dice curtain?
Cortina.
Yeah.
All right, we crushed it.
It's simple.
100%.
Yeah. We're quite, well, only Zorro was the only one. Zorrillo.
Zorrillo.
The only
one we didn't get. Escritorio, I didn't know.
All right.
I mean, I knew, but
we're
I'm
learning.
Like,
we're learning. Okay. Ice, be easy. All right. Michele Giannone, thank you so much for joining us. As always, man, this is really cool. Make sure, let people know where they can like follow you and all this other stuff.
No, thank you so much, guys. This has been like a dream come true. I love you guys. Thanks for having me. I'm a big fan. Aww. And I'm excited
to... We make
to,
every guest say that.
I'm so excited. Yeah, well, this I'm reading a prompt right now. You can
see. And Carter's holding a pistol. As
he reaches, waving a gun. Go, the prompter is going too fast. Wait, wait.
Yeah. It says cry.
No. Apple TV, MLS Season Pass, mostly on the Spanish side, con La Previa, MLS 360, y El Resumen. And sometimes I get to do selected games. Don't tell anyone, but it's just the Miami, Inter Miami game in Spanish. Don't say that.
We all definitely don't know
that's a big secret. Of, so, for example, this Sunday, I'm flying to do how is it called? I'm blanking. The el Clásico del Sol.
Oh, sí, sí.
Orlando. Orlando Miami, con... Orlando. Mm-hmm. We have an amazing
Can
double
Can I tell you
Sunday.
What the name should be for that?
Yeah,
el Clásicoño.
No.
El Clásicoño. It should be the name
that's,
for that.
Should be it,
so
yeah.
we have an amazing Sunday night doubleheader, back to back, Miami, Orlando, y el Tráfico. Perfect. LAFC Galaxy.
El Clasicoño y el Tráfico.
El Clasicoño.
Y cuando estás en el Tráfico, tú dices Clasicoño.
So I'm going to be there doing Silent, which is the thing. I'm loving the studio show and being in the studio, but nothing beats being on the field.
Yeah.
And having the opportunity to do some sidelines here and there, it's been a dream come true. And yeah, MLS Season Pass.
Yeah, you're crushing it, man.
You're good at both in studio and sideline, but obviously we fell in love with your work when you were doing sideline.
Thank you.
So it's great
I appreciate
to see
it.
You still doing that.
Amazing. Michele, thank you so much for joining us, man. Rivalry Week is this weekend, so
yes.
Make sure everybody tune into that. All right, we'll be right back after this.
First of all, thank you, Michele.
The homie.
But we got to move on. We got a little more show to go, and I love this. This is a friend of ours, a former friend of ours.
I don't know where we stand.
I honestly don't. But every time this person appears in the news, I freak out a little bit. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Will it be cringe? The answer is yes. This is Ashlyn Harris. Mm-hmm. It's just on a podcast. It's called Question Everything with Danielle Robé. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And a clip has just been released. And it is so cringe that it's part of our run.
Yeah, it's run that back worthy.
Yeah.
So we have to take a look at this because we're not necessarily in the business of chisme. You know what I mean?
We're pretty chismoso.
we're not in the business of it. But we are...
We got a little bochinche in
us. We're little gossipy gals from time to time.
And when tea gets spilled, my pinky goes up. You know what I mean?
So, yes. So this clip...
We don't know anything about this podcast. I would love to find out what the point of this podcast is.
I want to give a shout out to Jen on Blue Sky. What's the username,
It's
Carter?
Like a bunch of stuff. It's like Upchels-20
on Blue Sky. Get on Blue Sky. Everybody's on there. And you get to see clips like this. So, again, we do not subscribe to this podcast, this Question Everything podcast.
And from this clip, you will not figure out what the point of this podcast is.
No, I promise you that. But as soon as you're done listening to this clip, you will be questioning everything about why you chose to listen to this clip.
100%.
So Ashlyn Harris on this podcast, she's been on a bunch of podcasts.
She's doing a little media tour.
Exactly. So you got to do what you got to do. And let's just play a little bit of it.
We're going to learn a lot about Ashlyn, and I'm not sure you can unlearn it.
Okay, go for it.
What it's like to live at the top, and the air is very thin, and I choose to be exceptional every single day Like, it is literally a choice. Like, I wake up and I'm like, I don't know what it's like just to choose to be average.
Pause right here. Pause right here.
You know what this? You know what this is? When you go back to your old neighborhood that you grew up in, and you see your homie who never left, and he's at the bar.
Yeah.
And you ask him, "What have you been up to?" This is what they say. <I can't. laughs> And you know he's living with his mom. You know it.
So there's almost no way to say the sentences she is saying, and think you are being taken seriously. Shout out to Danielle Robay,
who kept it
for
solid.
Nodding along and being like
poker face, bro. She's like, of course.
Of course. Yeah, why would you be around average people?
Dumping up there, bro. You at the top, bro.
What, you in Bolivia right now? Can you breathe?
In fact, that might be the cause of why you're talking so dizzy.
This is a, just when you say, I don't know what it's like just to choose to be average, you're starting to get a little bit like, all right, what have, now you start asking, like, now I'm questioning everything. Mm-hmm. What have you done that you are so exceptional compared to us average folks? I mean, it's when you speak about yourself in this manner, you now I need to see the receipts. Right. I need to know why.
Show me the Lambo. Show me. You gotta be doing this from your palatial estate.
Because it's like, what is the message that you're trying to deliver? Who is this for? This is starting to feel.
Also, what was the question? What was asked that got you to say that?
This feels a little bit like I'm watching Ashlyn Red Pill Harris, right? Yeah, like, where is this going?
Yeah.
And I'm concerned. So let's play a little bit.
You know,
more.
The end of this was like, and that's why you should buy my meme coin.
Okay.
I feel like the only person watching this going like, yo, I like that, is Hawk Tua. You know what I mean? She's like, that's what I should have said.
Okay, go for it.
I don't f*** with average people. They make me uncomfortable. I don't like to be in the same rooms, in the same spaces.
Pause it again.
I think.
Pause it again.
Like, it's.
We've been in the same room with Ashlyn Harris, and I
saw her talking to Christian.
I apologize for making her uncomfortable.
Yeah. I saw her talking to Christian, and she was like freaking out. And then I said hello, and she almost shriveled. So
apologies. Now, we did not mean to. We did not realize where we were on the average meter and our mediocrity. Apologies for getting our mediocrity, sharing the room with you.
I recall there being a moment where she ran and jumped into my arms.
Right.
And now that I think back, I think she was actually trying to knee me out of the way. Because as an average person.
All right. This is surreal. I cannot believe this is happening. Keep going.
Contagious. It's just, I don't know. I had the best team in the world. We were the best team in the world. Everything I did and how I moved every day was the most exceptional people. So I don't understand how to be and be amongst people who just are like, you know what, I'm good.
But do you really want to understand that?
I do, because I think as you become a business person and you start running businesses and you start building and you start being in rooms, that not everyone moves and shows up the way I do, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And I have to learn, like, still how to get the best of people who maybe don't know how to choose greatness just yet.
You know what I love is that
see themselves
post
that
her career, she bought
yet.
Amazon. That's what I'm getting. That's what I'm getting from that.
Ashlyn Bezos. It's screaming like the Kim Kardashian. People just don't want to work anymore.
Yeah.
And it's just the detachment and just disconnect. I really don't even know what this is for. Even if it's your for like business, you're talking to business people.
I got no idea what the point of it. I don't know. I would love to know what the question was.
What do you sell?
Start the clip at the question because I need to know what prompted this. And also, imagine me in a hoodie smoking a cigar with a bunch of like old rich dudes in suits and me going, hey, just a bunch of tycoons, huh? Look at us.
You get it, right?
Look at us. You know, Wilmer Hampton IV. You get it, dude.
This is a, I mean, again.
They can't f*** with us.
They haven't been through what I've been through.
Only you guys get me, bro.
Yeah, this is a
couple of magnates, if you will.
This is wild, man. I mean, again, we don't really get to see stuff like this from professional athletes, and then especially former soccer players, especially American soccer players, tend to be a little bit of a not necessarily like they know their place, but they understand the hierarchy of like.
But even if, even, you know, strikers and wide receivers, you have to be the most confident human being. Right. I ain't never seen nothing like this.
Even from them, we've seen some pretty big egos. And this is one of the most delusional kind of, again.
I never heard Randy Moss say, like, I will shove average people out of my 6 feet. We're still doing social distancing. If you a bum. And by bum, I mean you're not one of the owners of Amazon.com. I own the Spanish one.
Maybe there's more context to this clip.
Maybe.
But this clearly clipped out of context.
But Shorty even goes, she goes, it's contagious. None of us know you. None of us have ever heard of you, girl.
Where are you getting your science from? RFK?
Yeah. Yo, oh no. Did I get the average person vaccine? Oh no.
Craziness. I mean, and we'll have to do more research behind this because we did not look up the full
do
podcast.
Do your own research.
Do your own research. Yeah, man. We got to do our own research as well. This, look, as we all, if you are new
this
to
this podcast should be done in selfie mode in the driver's seat of a car. That's the only way this actually makes sense.
This
visually.
Could have been a TikTok.
Wearing Oakleys, you know what I mean?
This is, if you know the history of Cooligans, like again, Ashton Harris has been a part, she's been on the show. It's a thing.
It's no lie, we're Team Alley though.
Yeah, yeah, we are.
We don't shy behind that.
We don't shy behind that.
She's the homie.
But this is a, I mean, this is just, you start to figure, you know, whenever there's a breakup in any friends kind of relationship, you know, people tend to sort of pick sides or whatever.
Yeah, I usually pick none. I should get them out of my life.
but
I can't have your breakup being contagious to my marriage.
But sometimes in relationships, there's somebody crashes out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they go through things.
It affects one usually a little more than the other.
And all I'm saying is that maybe this is what this kind of looks like. I've never seen anything like this.
This is also a good reason why maybe you should cry every once in a while. And I know that it's me saying that, but you should be the one to let out the emotions a little bit.
Right, right, right.
Because you got one being kind of happy and the other one's going like, I can't even look my family in the face. Because they just don't, they don't walk in the same rooms as I do.
So it's wild. Yeah. As always.
She's like, I was having a conversation with a Vanderbilt. It was the statue because he's passed away. But the statue pointed back at me and said, bro, I feel you.
And you know what? We agreed on a lot.
Yeah.
And we just thought, you know what? There's really no point in unions anymore.
No, no. I walked in at Carnegie Hall and they say, get in there, it's practice. I just walked in. I said, have you thought about making it Ashland Hall? Because I'm from the same ilk, you know?
All right, let's wrap it up there because we could go on for ages. Shout out to Michele Giannone for joining us on the show. Always appreciate it. Make sure, if you have not yet, go check out. We did an awesome video with Anton Ferdinand at the Stand Comedy Club. It is on our YouTube. So it's probably the previous video to this. So go check that out. We had a meal with Anton Ferdinand, the West Ham legend.
And there's a huge surprise at the end.
Yeah, so go and watch that right now. The full, we have a shorter version on our YouTube. The full video is on our Patreon. So that is available right now, patreon.com/soccercooligans, if you want to see the extended interview of that. And as always, make sure you hit subscribe, and follow us on Blue Sky at soccercooligans.com. Everybody's leaving that other site, because only Ashton is there.
People must think you're getting paid from
Blue Sky. Sky's great, bro. Yeah. We got to get off of that other site, dog. It's a nightmare over there. All right. So we'll see you on, what's today? Today's Thursday. We'll see you on Monday with a brand new episode.
Enjoy your weekend.
Enjoy your week. Hope all your teams lose.
Damn, and
we'll see you on Monday. Peace.
Love you guys.